Welcome to a new episode of the Astro Podcast. Today we have with us Simon Dolet. He is currently doing a PhD research project on the Europe of the Enlightened under the influence of the stars. That's his title. Giuseppe Toaldo, Astrometeorology, 1719 to 1797. So welcome, Simon. It's very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah, so I'm quite curious about the topic that you have been studying for quite a few years, which is astrometeorology, and in particularly in the almost at the end of astrology being accepted as a proper science in an academic sense. So I'm quite curious to know a little bit about your research and what you've been finding out. So the first thing I would ask you is, how did you get into this topic? How did your research intercepted the history of astrology?
Thank you very much, Luis. So I came across the history of astrology in the third year of my bachelor. I was looking for a subject for my master thesis, and the professor in Dijon University suggested me to the history of science. Indeed, I have also a bachelor in physics, so I'm and the question of truth, especially the scientific truth, has questioned me a lot. Why would physics tell the truth more than history? I then turned to the construction of the history of science, then to pseudoscience, and more specifically astrology. I have read Hervé Drevillon's book, Lire, Écrire l'Avenir, on the astrology during the 17th century in France. And I then thought, what next? So I focused my research on the 18th century, on the alignment, and I discovered Toaldo. I was very lucky because I have no idea that his archives would be so rich, and I was lucky again to write my master thesis in Nice under the supervision of Thierry Baudet, who is my PhD supervisor now, and he's a specialist on the 18th century. So it's the beginning of the story.
Yeah, because I forgot to mention that you're doing your studies at the University of Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. I came across this author, Giuseppe Toaldo, briefly while I was doing my PhD, because I had to do the introduction, you know, to how astrology was developing at that time and how it gets marginalized further and further from the academia by the end of the 17th century, beginning of the 18th century. It depends on location, of course. And I came across him exactly on the astrometeorology. Of course, I didn't develop that too much. I just mentioned it, basically, that he is one of the late people writing on astrometeorology. So I was very interesting because basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the historiography focus on the English, you know, scientists doing this astrometeorology quite late into the 18th century. But at least that I am aware, there's not much historiography in what's happening in Italy, France, and elsewhere.
Basically there is not a lot of things about astrometeorology. You know very well the studies of Charles Brunet, So and du coup for France, du coup, excuse me, for France, and Lawrence Mathers in the last years, or Craig Martin. And Craig Martin works a lot on Italy, other lands. And yeah, I think you are true. There is a lot of studies on English part of the world, and like astrology, many studies during focused on the Middle Ages. So there is a lot of things to do, and that is the difficulty with astrology. It's not just astrology, and it's not totally mythology. So
it's a weird hybrid. And very difficult to fit into a specific box, let's say.
Exactly.
Because I found that as well, because I've been, you know, finding, of course, astrometeorology as one of the main applications of astrology.
Yeah, medication, for example, in your last article.
Medicine, perhaps, it's going to be the largest. In almanacs, in all of that, you always have that meteorology bit. But again, as you said, there aren't many concise studies on its history, how it develops, forces, and it has been, you know, it's been weird to not to find more studies.
To my mind, astrology is just one of the different way of astrology during the early modern period. So the name astrometeorology is not usually used. So it's difficult to speak about astrometeorology during this period. So yeah, it's more something. It's difficult to define. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think it's difficult to define because it's not even, I would say, one of the main topics, at least that I've found in astrology books. So when we go to the teaching instruments of astrology, the books, the great works, meteorology it's there always, together with the mundane aspects of the crops and all of that, but it's very rarely treated as a topic on itself. And I think we don't have a lot of treatises on meteorology.
And the aim of meteorology changed during the early modern period, Enlightenment. The meteorology in the university focused on the causes and the link with God. And just after, from the middle of the 17th century, with the scientific revolution and the new instruments, there is a new period for mythology that is a predictive period, and that's one of my subject of studies now.
Yeah, exactly. How that shift.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think what I've seen is that, like I said before, together with medicine, it's perhaps one of the topics, one of the subjects where astrology survives to its latest form. And I have also the impression that in some way, this idea of celestial influence will develop into what we have today as astrophysics, you know, of course, with lots of changes, but there seems to be a passage, you know, where you get celestial influence then becoming astrophysics and the whole shift in the way of conceiving the universe. I don't know if you have that perception.
I don't know. It's too difficult for me now, but I think we do not forget the importance now of agriculture with the almanac and the importance of lunar influences. I think of my grandmother in his garden and everything like this. And the astrometry is something very current now. Mm-hmm. Or in pseudoscience. So yeah. There is something to write a history to write.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Giuseppe Tualdos and his approach to astrometeorology. What can you tell us about this figure?
Okay, so Tualdo was born in 1719 and he died in 1797. He was a professor at the University of Padua from 1764, and it's really at this period who he studied meteorology and astrometeorology. Before it's not proved, and more, he indicated that during this education in a Jesuit father's with the Jesuit father in the seminary of Padua, he did not believe to the influence of the stars because of the reading desired by the Jesuit father, and so it's really linked with your subject. And I think he changed his thoughts during the year 1760s or 1750s, excuse me, or 1760s. And during my master's thesis, I'm focusing on a new form of the adaptation of scientific astrology. More precisely, Tualdo wrote a history of sound astrology with a link with Bacon sound astrology. So for Tualdo, his forecasting system was based only on the influences of the sun and the moon. He rejected all other influences, so zodiac signs, planets, or fixed stars. And he also rejected horoscopes method. So that is not really astrology as we can think, but it's more a theoretical astrology with the celestial influence. So for him, the sun and the moon influence the atmosphere according to their position or aspects. Mm-hmm. So and these different positional aspects, Tualdo named that lunar points. So he can predict the weather in two different types. For the first one, in the short term, Tualdo predicted that the weather changes during a period 3 days before or 3 days after each lunar points.
Okay.
But he did not indicate exactly the type of weather, the future weather, to say that really clearly. And for the second part, in the long term, Tualdo suggested that the revolution of the lunar points, for example, the apogee, coincided with the same weather conditions. Mm-hmm. So there is very two parts, and he was well known for the revolution of the apogee, and after for the eclipse, the sorrows of the Chaldean, and he took that to applicate it in meteorology. So that is what I presented in my master thesis, but I found something or more after, and that changed everything, in fact, because yeah, I presented the history of sound astrology in Toaldo's discourse, but he wrote in 1781 when he is very famous in the Republic of Sciences. He wrote a memory for an academic prize, who he presented the influence of Jupiter and Venus, which could mechanically attract the fluid and the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something totally contrary to his theory, his well-known theory. And he went further when he wrote that something really near from nativities. Mm-hmm. In fact, for him, the weather conditions incline someone during his conception or his birth.
Okay.
And after this person will have a sensibility with these types of change, mm-hmm. of weather changes. So it's something really near of nativity, and it's really something astrological. But he printed this text only in 1797, the year of his death. So I'm not sure it's something strange for him or not.
But it's interesting. It's very curious that he's returning.
Yeah, it's very curious.
To the possibility that if it affects the weather and the natural conditions, it could affect the conception and the birth as well.
Exactly. Yeah,
which is again picking up on on the theories that we see earlier versions of astrology until mid 17th century, where I think I don't recall exactly who says this. I think it's Ptolemy, probably in the Centiloquium or something like that, that says that one should study the ingresses and the lunations that are occurring before birth, because those will mirror also something in the birth. And again, those are two tools for weather forecasting at that time. So it's very, again, this link appears to exist earlier, and he's picking it up in his more mathematical or scientific version. Scientific, it's the word, scientific version of astrology. So it's very curious.
I don't know why he presented his memory to Haarlem in Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And the administrators or the person who read the memory for the prize wrote, because I have been the opportunity, excuse me, to see the document. Someone wrote that is astrology, but is in the negative. It's a negative purpose in this case. So, but. Yeah, there is something to find this way, and it's just two documents, and there is nothing more, and it's something really important because Toaldo didn't write a lot about astrology. In fact, just in two or three pages in the preface of his main book, the Saggio Meteorologico, so it's a meteorological essay. English, and in a lecture given in 1769, one of his first lecture in the in his chair, and so this document in his almanac, the Journale Astrometeorologico. There is not a lot of things, but it's always behind his discourse.
It's curious because I haven't been able to point, or I think we haven't mapped yet how these this shift of astrology as a science and then later as a pseudoscience. I don't even know exactly when this nomenclature of pseudoscience appears. Might have been later than the 18th century, I suppose. But we don't know a lot about this transition, and that would be interesting to explore. And you're exploring it in the scientific context, in how science is going to deal with that concept later on.
But I think something I found something really interesting in Toaldo's text. There is the rise of the science of influence of the stars, and these words replaced the term astrology. And there is numerous texts during the 18th century which used the term influence of the stars. And in my master thesis, I try to explain this long process. And it's very interesting to see that Toaldo cited the same scientist than Patrick Curry in his Prophecy on Power, exactly in his in the Scientific Reform. With John, with Bohr, with God, with William Durham, etc.
Exactly, which are the ones that I usually mentioned when we discuss this later approach to
astrology. And Toaldo thought he participated in the same process, in fact, and we can see that at the end of the 17th century, all the scientists he cited used only influence of the stars and not yet astrology. It's just Toaldo in his preface and in his university lecture. I think it's something to study, and I will study that in my PhD. The use of influence of the stars, it can be a new way of the adaptation of scientific astrology, and it can be one of the step to the scientific astrology to pseudoscience.
Yeah, and probably avoiding the name astrology, which was associated with at that time non-scientific things.
At the end of the 17th century, you know that very well, that the word is too negative.
Yeah, exactly.
So they changed just the name and to focus on the celestial influences, the causes and the consequences. And Newton, with his gravity, it's a driving force for this theory, the theory around the tides.
Exactly.
And it's a way to legitimate lunar influences.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Although it's always the same discourse, first step, it's to present Newton's theory of tides and to say, lunar references are existed.
Exactly.
And after he can explain that on the atmosphere, and after he presented his predictive system.
Yeah, and again, it's interesting because they're picking up on a long tradition that comes basically from Ptolemy. It's the main source where he says that. So if we see the influence of the sun in the seasons and the moon in the tides, there's a proof of astrology. You know, that that's well, I'm simplifying it a bit much, but that's the main idea that justifies, that proves in the practical way, mundane way, astrology. And here they are. There is some influence in their minds, because you do have the tides, you do have other stuff going on. So,
yeah. And it has been a surprise when I saw all these great scientists at the end of the 18th century, like Lalande, a very famous astronomer, Lambert, a mathematician very well known of Berlin, and etc. etc. They all trust about influences of the moon.
Yeah.
And everyone, for now, I think there's five or six actors against Toaldo. But it's not the whole community of the Republic of Sciences.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is not yet, we can say, astrology thoughts are really present in this period in Europe and also in the world with the colonial extensions.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because at the same time we have... because this is quite late. He dies really at the end of the 18th century. So it's very late period for him to be talking about this. And at the same time, astrology, as it was practiced before, has submerged into the spheres of occult sciences, alternative ways of thinking about the universe and existence. So we have that current going on, and then we still have a remnant of what we can say, a remnant of the influence of the celestial bodies within a more scientific apparatus and a way of trying to fit that into the new mechanics of the world, which is quite interesting. And this is why I say, you know, in there somewhere might be what we can call a prototype for astrophysics, because they are trying to understand exactly, you know, how are these things moving around and affecting us somehow. Of course, astrophysics is far beyond this simple things, exactly. But but I don't know, I can see the route, you know, what would lead to develop as new discoveries come to place and science evolves. Our knowledge evolves, of course, and nowadays it's very difficult to make that comparison. But at that period, I think we have a transition between this idea of celestial bodies moving and affecting the Earth and life on Earth and people and events, and then the fact that we are immersed in this web of relations, gravitational, with light, electromagnetic, whatever, moving around, which astrophysics is going to focus and focuses today.
It's very difficult to define a scientist during the alignment. We have to know that, for example, Toaldo was a meteorologist, but although an astronomer, and there is the same for numerous practitioners. I think in Messier, who was an astronomer in Paris, and he wrote he wrote some meteorological observation that he received of China, but he made himself some meteorological observation, and before the beginning, I present to you an astronomer of Rio de Janeiro whose name is Bento Sanchez d'Horta. He made meteorological observation during the 1780s, but he was an astronomer too, and I'm trying to discern these things. If we, you are, for example, an astronomer, you try to use this knowledge in meteorology.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but I think there is a hope during all this long 18th century to try to discern one rule, the rule to understand the weather. Yeah. And a lot of these practitioners thought that it can be the celestial influences.
Okay, yeah.
And I think there is some
cause.
But there is, some people against this vision, but it's not the majority.
No, that's curious. That's curious that it's not the majority. It's interesting. Yeah.
In the scientific community. It's a short community, but it's
exactly. But it's the ones that know what they're doing and more informed of what they're doing. Yeah, and that could criticize it in a more scientific perspective. Yeah.
But I think it's more in the elite that the astrology was more attacked during the 17th century, for example. So it's a good group to study.
Yeah, because I'm not sure how much astrology, proper astrology, would be still be practiced by people in the scientific community.
During the 18th century, for example?
During the 18th century still. If we
I have one example. It's Boulainvilliers. It's a French and a little bit studied in the middle of the 20th century. But he's a noble one, and he is depreciated by Voltaire, and or I'm not sure it's Voltaire or in the encyclopedia, but yeah, he won, and he practiced the horoscope method. It's part. But yeah, to continue in this way, I would like to share you something I find a very curious. Figure, in the archives of Bologna. It's in the papers of a meteorologist, Beccari, exactly, one of the first meteorologists in Europe, and he drew a figure for the wind's directions. And exactly the same figure that a horoscope. So yeah, there is some link, but it's just a draw. But it's something like this.
Study. A visual connection at some of some sort. Yeah, to the idea. Yeah.
But the people against the influence of the stars of Toaldo are. Were true in some case because there is some point to very strange in his theory. So for example, the secretary of the Royal Society, so someone really well known in the scientific community, his name is Samuel Horsley, wrote in 1775. Yeah, I think it's that. 1777.
Yeah.
Something like this. He wrote an article where he never cited Toaldo, but it's against his theory. He wrote that it's not a good theory, not a legitimate one, because if you take all the lunar points of Toaldo, so there is 10 points, and you take 3 days before and 3 days after, so So the period where when the weather can change, it's all the months.
Yeah,
it's all the day.
Exactly. I understand what he means. Yeah.
So there is the first.
It always works because eventually it will change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won in all cases, but there is although the Italian mathematicians for the first one for the most well known, it's Paolo Frizzi of Milano, really well known mathematician in his time, real famous, and that it's more mathematical. He mathematically calculated the influence of the moon on the atmosphere. And for him, the value is then too low for this action to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That will be proved again during the 19th century. And it will be end of the astrometrology in the scientific community. So that it's more in the middle of the 19th century.
Okay.
But to Aldo give a new force for this theory, and from the end of the Enlightenment to the middle of the 19th century, something like this.
Okay. So in a certain way, it's the middle of the 19th century where this idea of celestial influence on meteorology sort of it's dismissed
completely. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, but by then you have meteorology has developed in itself as a field of knowledge. So then they have already other ways of predicting the weather. Yeah, it's interesting. But it's very late. Still very late.
Yeah, it's late, but it's my theory, but it's linked with the constriction of meteorological science.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's very at the end of the 18th century that this science began to be really constructed.
Yeah.
With a good foundation, with for example the first really worldwide meteorological network, mm-hmm. the one of the Society of Mannheim and the secretary of this society named Jacob Hemme. An admirator or something like this of Toaldo.
Okay.
And one of the goals of this network was to confirm or not, mm-hmm. Toaldo's theory. Okay. So it's not
still there.
It's written in an article just after 5 or 6 years. It's just a little bit abandoned, something like this.
Okay. Because that might put it, I'm not sure about what I'm going to say exactly, but that would put this idea of celestial influence in the weather survive much longer than celestial influence on medicine, which that I am aware that is dropped out very quickly during the 18th century. But again, I'm not an expert on this topic.
Yeah, I'm not an expert too, but I find a lot of physicians who presented again the link between medicine and social influence with the Neo-Hippocratic Neo-Hippocratic theory. It's between the middle of the 18th century and the beginning of the 19th century, and a lot of meteorologists was physician. There is not a lot of chair of meteorology. I found, for example, so Padua in Harvard University, it's not really a chair of meteorology. It's a chair of mathematics and natural philosophy. But all the professors practiced meteorological observation. And there is another one at the very end of the 18th century in Spain, and another one in somewhere in Germany. So there is a lot of physician, and for example, there is there was a network, a meteorological network, in coordinated by the Royal Society during the 1720s and 1730s, which the aim was really the medicine, the link between health and weather.
Okay.
But and one of the exactly the person who edited the meteorological observation was William Durham. William Durham, cited in by Patrick Curie in his Prophecy on Power. So. Yeah, he was the really I don't have the word, excuse me, yet he was near of the Newton theory, and he tried to explain the link with celestial influence, Newton and God. He's someone interested by celestial influences, and he worked for his meteorological network, but I have not yet consulted archive of the Royal Society.
It's next on the
I would like to do so very quickly.
Yeah, it's interesting because then we do need to map this a little bit better to understand exactly how this idea.
And I think that just now, but there is an article of Mark Harrison, who worked on the physician at the end of the 18th century, who used celestial influence, exactly moon influence, in medicine, but in colonial context. I think it's in India, but I'm not very sure. I think so.
I'm not familiar with that one, yeah.
Mark Harrison,
yeah. I know the name, but I don't know that paper. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Well, again, the idea of celestial influence is still there, in one way or the other, which is quite interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to see the end of your thesis and what you can come up with yet. You're at the beginning still.
The middle.
Middle.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah. Time travels fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I haven't, I don't know, you were thinking about all these people, and I think if there was someone in Portugal that would have that kind of connection. I'm not so familiar with 18th century or early 19th century history of science here. I've been stuck more or less in the 16th and 17th century. But I will look if I can see anyone that might be interesting to you.
Yeah, but I read in the last day an article of climatology which presents all the a little history of meteorology in Portugal, and the scholars read that there is a beginning of meteorology really late in Portugal, so I'm not sure if there is a lot of evidence in Portugal. But I'm say I read your PhD, but I'm wondering if you're in the Jesuit college who studied, there is something about mythology in the all the lecture given by the actor you studied. There is possibility something like this, because in Padua, the chair of astronomy in meteors, it's there is astronomy and meteors. So I think there is, it's in it's in DNA, something really at the basis of the chair.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm thinking the latest teaching of astrology we have here in the Jesuit College is in 1702, so right at the beginning of the 18th century. And they always focus in astrometeorology, basically, you know, theory of conjunctions, ingresses, lunations, eclipses for the prediction of weather. That's the main focus. And they're very, what shall I say, very precise. So they don't just teach the astrological doctrines. They teach, you know, calculation of lunations, calculation of eclipses, lunar parallax. They have the whole astronomic and mathematical corpus needed to calculate all these phenomena. And then they speak of it in as a meteorology, as mainly for meteorology. And you see that from the beginning of the 17th century right until this last class in 1702. And this one has a lot of things, but it has a big chunk of it is on rules for astrometeorology. So it is one of the topics, but again, it would be one of the topics which would fit into the idea of natural astrology. So astrology that could be explained by causes. So it's there. As to meteorology, the more scientific development of meteorology, I'm not so aware of, but I can try to figure out, because this the Jesuit College, the Jesuits are expelled later on the in the mid of the 18th century. So by then, I think meteorology is still popping up. So that probably might
between
not
the theory and the practice, there is really
So yeah. I'm not aware of it, but I'll check and see. But again, the astrologers, the one that teach astrology, do focus. The core of the course is astrometeorology.
Okay.
They Princess. Have a bit on nativities, but it's more light. It's not. And again, it's even the nativities part is focused on medicine. That's the idea: medicine and natural inclinations. That's the furthest they go with nativities. So again, very focused on a natural approach to astrology. So we could say more scientific in their sense. So probably the Jesuits would have a continuation of that idea, perhaps further along the 18th century. But I'm not knowledge of that. I'll have to check.
Okay. Thank you very much.
But that is interesting. That is interesting, because what I also understood now, and this goes up to the 18th century as well, is that, as you know, I've just published a paper on astrology and navigation exactly in these periods.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you see is that there are some advocates in the treatises of navigation that advocate the use of astrology for the calculation of the weather. So they would calculate the date to launch the ship, not just based on tides, but there's also at least some authors would advise a sort of prediction of the weather to see if the navigation.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm focusing now just a little bit on meteorology in the context of navigation too, because it's one of the driving force for the interesting of astrology. All the navigator have to know the weather, the future weather. So it's something very important for me and for Toaldo too, because all this his astrometeorological theory was made for agriculture, medicine, and navigation.
Yeah.
He didn't wrote a lot for navigation. It's for just for it's more, excuse me, for agriculture. But yeah. You know that he lived in the Republic of Venice, so the navigation is something really important. So yeah, I'm trying to understand something like this, and say, I'm totally agree with you with the importance of navigation in this way. It's a new way to understand some practices.
Exactly. And I think these are the two driving forces. Well, the three driving forces for the study of meteorology would be, as you said, agriculture, medicine, and navigation. Agriculture, we can exactly as you can, it's understandable. You need to know the weather to see if you're going to get good crops, if you're going to have frost, if whatever is happening. Medicine, there is a correlation that they try always to figure out, as we spoke. And then there's navigation, and in navigation, from what I understood, it appears to be very important. And you can see in the treatises in the early 18th century, they're still mentioning astrology.
And for example, excuse me, and just for example, you can see one of the circulation of the idea of influence of the stars during the 1760 and 1770s, mm-hmm. that Toaldo used for his lunar points. The lunasticis, it's one astronomical point, and it's a term invented by Jérôme Lalande, the astronomer. I presented in the before. Jérôme Lalande is the most well-known astronomer in Europe during this period, and Lalande wrote the connaissance des temps, excuse me, the connaissance des temps. There is a masculine line in England present. Yeah, it's a nautical almanac. Yes, mm-hmm. So it's a French nautical almanac, la connaissance des temps, and he presented the influence of the stars before Toaldo, and Toaldo so printed his works. And after, there is in the 70s, 80s, Louis Cott, the famous meteorologist in France, who wrote some conclusion of influence of the stars for navigation. It's one of the things that I found on this way, but there is not a lot of things, but there is something in the connaissance des temps and probably in the nautical almanac.
Which again is interesting because it is a continuation of that idea.
It's a long story, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a long durée idea, which is quite interesting. It is quite interesting because we would think that those ideas would be abandoned, immediately when astrology gets out of favor.
It's a transition.
But there is a transition. Yeah, it's much slower. There's still the presence, at least. Perhaps not astrology, but the idea of celestial influence of some sort.
It's not really astrology. Yeah, it's theoretical astrology, something like this. But for example, the Toaldo, he rejected the horoscope. But for him, in his last almanac, the Giornale Astrometeorologico, he presented the meteorological diary as the new horoscope. For him, it's a new object which can help people to predict the future. So he wrote that exactly, the meteorological journal is the new horoscope.
Okay. No.
It's not an horoscope, but there is something linked between astrology and the science of the influence of the stars. There is really a science, and you can find that in the encyclopedia, because in the encyclopedia, so the English version, for influence, it's just something in 10 lines or something like this, depends on the version or the editions. Mm-hmm. And for the encyclopedias, so the French version, it's very long. It's wrote by a physician from Montpellier, after in Paris. And so it's something like this, that we said, it's a physician, and it's something really long, linked with Bacon Sound Astrology, and it's really a science, I think that. And Toaldo, the paper which made me on the road of this theory. I find a paper. I forgot the word. I will wrote that. Yeah, a draft. So I found a draft. I found a draft in Toaldo's paper at the seminary of Padua with try to find a title for his main book, the Saggio Meteorologico, and there is in his two drafts trying to find a title and the final title, three words of group of words that can be exchanged, and that is sound astrology, mutation of the air, and influence of the stars. And Toaldo chose at the end influence of the stars. So for him, it's something like sound astrology, but the sound astrology is just a part. But it's the social influence, so it's influence of the stars. But it's more acceptable and usable, I think, in the scientific community during the 18th century.
I understand. It's interesting.
I think one of the way to study astrology in the 18th century, if we don't focus on horoscope, you can find a lot of things behind influence of the stars.
Exactly. I think you're right, because you have the remnant, we have what remains of astrology, which is no longer scientific in that sense. So from a point of view of history of science, you have to see how the ideas of influence are then picked up by the new cosmologies, the new ideas, the new science, etc. So I think that hasn't been properly explored, and I hope you can present a good view on that soon. Okay, no, great. Well, thank you very much for sharing all these what you're working with us. It was very interesting. I think this is a very interesting subject, because we speak about the marginalization of astrology and then the collapse of astrology as a scientific valid knowledge, of course, but then we drop it off, but it's still there. Some of the ideas are still there and being recycled into the new views of the world. So I think that's quite an interesting facet to explore. And I wish you the best of success with the rest of your PhD. It's a lot of work, I know.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Very much.